to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 866 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another fun episode lined up for us. In today's podcast, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out. We'll talk more about those free seeds later on in today's show. Before we get too far, I do want to remind you that the New Year's sale has begun at iredirect.com. That's right. Make sure you check iredirect.com for current New Year's pricing and inventory. And don't forget that all seed orders over $100 do come with free shipping. All right, I don't want to waste too much time with advertising here at the start of the show. Let's work our way into the question and answer portion of today's podcast. I do have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. On the top of that website, there's a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, you can send me a grow question. If I read your grow question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Our first question came from a new friend who did not send a name. Their question says, Wagwan Rasta Jeff, big ups on so many hundreds of podcasts. Bro, thank you for the congratulations on all of the podcasts, 866 episodes, and no sign of slowing down or stopping. So thank you for that. Thank you for noticing. We're going to jump right to the question part. There's a lot of little setup here. We're going to get right to the question. It says, anyway, my question is this. When flipping back to 18.6 in the last 2 weeks or 10 days, won't the trichomes just be ripe and immature? Many thanks, big man. All right, so this question is referring to a technique that I've been talking about that gets a lot of feedback, a lot of response, and a lot of controversy. I have been using a technique where at the end of my flowering cycle, so I've been flowering for 7, 8.5, maybe 9 weeks, for the last 10, maybe 14 days of my flowering cycle, I change my timer from 18 hours on to 6 hours off. Now, a lot of people's heads just fucking exploded. Why would you do this? What is going on? You're in flower. Why are you putting those lights back on a vegetative light cycle, essentially? That's a very good question. I do have a very good reason for doing this. So essentially what I'm doing, and there are a lot of questions that come with this. I'll try to address a couple of those as we talk. So 10 days before I am going to harvest, generally 10 days before harvest, and do this with a cultivar you are familiar with. Don't do this on the first time you've ran a plant because you don't know how long it goes. Do this with a plant you know how long it goes and then adjust your schedule accordingly. So if you have a plant, you've ran it multiple times, it goes 70 days. At day 60, I would change my light cycle from 12 hours on, 12 hours off, back to 18 hours on and 6 hours off, a vegetative light cycle. I'm increasing my light by 50% per day. A lot of people, like I said, are freaking the fuck out. Why would you do that? Well, the first reason I want to do that is I have found that it makes my plants finish a little bit more quickly. I can get them to speed up by several days, sometimes 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 days, depending on the cultivar. Also, I have noticed that it increases in bud density. It makes the buds a little more bulky, a little bit more dense, and it also makes them weigh a little bit more. So it's making them finish faster, and it's making them more dense. I have never, in my whole teaching about this whole method, I have never said that we should get more trichomes from this. That's never been part of the theory, part of the practice. That's never been the idea, because I agree with you. If this did promote trichomes, those trichomes would be premature, not immature, but premature trichomes. They wouldn't be ripe. They wouldn't be worth smoking. So you're right. There would be no advantage to that. Also, I feel like that the bro science of putting your plants in darkness for 24 hours to achieve more trichomes, that would do the exact same thing. You would get more trichomes, but they would not be ripe. They would not be amber in color. They would not be filled with the proper oils. They wouldn't be ready. When I started telling everybody about this technique, the intention was never to encourage or increase or promote trichome development. This was always about bud development, about bud density, and speeding up the finishing time. I learned this technique and started doing this with seeded crops. When I pollinate crops, I put them back on 18.6 very quickly after pollination because that light source gives my plants more energy, and I wanted my seeds to get more robust more quickly. And then I thought, if it works on my seeds, why not do it on the flowering crops? However, we can't do it too early because they will re-veg if you do this too early. So I learned to do this the last 10 days of the flowering cycle, and it does make my buds more dense and they finish more quickly. So from the very beginning, this was never intended to increase or promote trichome development. That's the bottom line of this question. It's only been for bud density and to speed up the harvest time of that plant. Now, a lot of people ask me a lot of different questions. They ask, how do you do this? Why do you do this? When do you do this? I will explain very simply and very quickly and very much why I do this. It's really easy. Like I said before, we've got a plant that we have grown several times. We know what this plant does. If you harvest this plant consistently at day 70 and you have a solid outcome that you're happy with, I would say turn that light at day 60, put the light back on 18.6 and allow that plant to get that 50% more photon energy. In my opinion, in my experience, in my education, light is the number one source of energy for our plants. So giving that plant more light, more energy, will allow it to grow more quickly. It will get more density and it will finish even sooner because it is photosynthesizing more, metabolizing more while those lights are on. It is getting the energy to do so while the lights are on, and it will do those processes when the lights go off with more vigor. I also use green sensation to make these processes a little bit easier on the plant. So we're doing 18.6, adding green sensation. Green sensation comes in at week 4, but it sticks around. So the reason for changing the light is I believe that that light gives me more photon energy. That photon energy is more production. People are going to ask, do you change the intensity of the lights? No, I simply change the timer. Nothing changes but the timer. I don't adjust the intensity. I don't go less. I don't go more. I go more hours. That is all that I do. And I highly recommend that you do this with a plant that you know how long it takes to flower. I keep saying that because you may be wasting potential or you may be triggering issues. Find a plant that you know how long it takes to flower, that you're satisfied with the outcome. If you flush, that's a whole other topic. I don't really flush. That's not something I do. If you flush, during that flush phase, go back to 18.6. That will speed up the ripening and it'll give you more dense buds. But this was never meant to be about trichome production, so I don't want that to be a confusion. The number one question I get around this is when to do it. 10 days before flower. The number two question I get is, do you change the light intensity? No, leave it right how it is. Change the timer. Keep an eye on the plants. Third question I get is, won't this make my plants re-veg? Yes, if you do it for 18, 22 days, then they will re-veg. But 10 days, they will not re-veg. If they do, you've got a problematic plant, and that plant was going to give you some shit anyway. And if you are looking to work on a re-veg project, now you are way ahead of the game because you've been in the re-veg light. It's already been receiving that light. It knows I'm in 18.6. It's starting to do stuff hormonally. So when you do harvest the lowers and leave a couple lower buds, you are way ahead of the game for your re-veg project. So, my dude who did not send a name, I appreciate the great question. I've got your email address, so make sure you check your inbox for a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, let's keep this show moving. This next question came from our new friend, Matthew. Matthew, thank you for the great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Before I read this message, I do want to remind you to click like and subscribe. That's right. If you enjoy this podcast, please click like. Also, click subscribe. That way you never miss any of my amazing cannabis educational content. All right, this question from my new friend Matthew goes a little bit like this. It says, hey, Rasta Jeff, I was listening to your podcast and that got me looking at your seeds and I want to ask a question about them. I appreciate that. It says, are your feminized seeds self-pollinated? That is kind of a trick question. We'll get into that. It says, will their genetics be similar to the seedling mother or can they still have a fair bit of variance? All right, so I want to talk about that. Are the seeds self-pollinated? Now, if they were self-pollinated, you could only make one strain. So what I do, I take one female plant and I treat that female plant with a solution. We're going to talk about that at another time. I've talked about it a lot in the past. I take this female plant, I treat it with the solution. It creates pollen that only contains female chromosomes because it is a female plant. I then take that pollen and I can put that pollen on a clone of the same plant. And that would be considered a self-pollination. That is an S1. That plant definitely is self-pollinated. When I take that pollen and put that pollen on other plants to create other outcrosses, those are what is known as a reversal, an R1 or an R2 if it's a further filial, but we're getting carried away. So we've got a difference between a selfed and a reversal is what you're basically talking about here. Some of my plants are self-pollinated. Golden goat is a self-pollination. Golden goat is a golden goat clone pollinating a golden goat clone. So you are getting pure, unadulterated golden goat. That's what you get with that. Lemon Jeffrey, on the other hand, is the golden goat pollen put on a lemon skunk female. That's how we make the Lemon Jeffrey. So that is a reversal. It is the female pollen put on the Lemon Jeffrey. That makes the Lemon Jeffrey. That makes a feminized seed because of that feminized pollen. So we've got two different types of breeding projects here, two types of feminized breeding projects. One is a self. One is a reversal. Let's talk about the second part of this question. Will their genetics be similar to the seeding mother, or can they still have a fair bit of variance? That's a very good question. Let's focus first with the golden goat S1, the selfed golden goat. What I see with the golden goat a lot of the times, I see about 40% of the phenotypes look just like the original mother. 40% of them look just like the original mom. Then there's about 25% that look a little bit like one of the parents on one side, the father. Then there's about 25% of the offspring that look like the mother. So we've got 25 dad, 25 mom, that's 50%. We got 40% that looks just like the golden goat. And then there's 10% of them that are just fucking random weirdos. There's a phenotype in there that grows real tall, real skinny, real wispy. It takes a real long time to finish, but it is the most potent out of the batch. It doesn't look anything like the original golden goat, but it is amazingly potent, and it tastes like a tart, sour, funky grapefruit, and it makes my head spin when I smoke it. So that phenotype is in there, but that is not the common phenotype. That is a little bit of an outlier. Like I said, that's probably 10%. I'm going to even narrow it down to say probably 5% of the phenotypes will express that. The other 5 are just going to be weirdos that I'm not even sure what you're going to get. So approximately 40% of the offspring are going to look just like the mother, just like the golden goat clone that I've got that we started with. 25% are going to look kind of like mom. 25% are going to look kind of like dad. 5% fucking weirdos, and 5% make that real tall, lanky, wild fucking phenotype that I'm talking about. So that's what you're going to see from the S1 from the golden goat. Now let's talk more about the R1. We're going to focus again on the Lemon Jeffrey. Lemon Jeffrey, there's one common phenotype that you can see, a perfect 50-50 mix of the lemon skunk and the golden goat. That is kind of the common phenotype. And once again, I'm going to say that's about 40%. That is about 40%. The 50-50 mix, you're going to see about 40% of the time. Then once again, 25% of the time, we're going to see stuff that looks a lot like golden goat. Then 25% of the time, we're going to see stuff that looks a lot like the lemon skunk. Then 10% of the time, we're just going to get weird outliers that kind of they're curious. They could look like grandparents. They could look like great grandparents. They're just going to be weirdos. That is kind of how breeding works when we're doing these crosses. But we've got the opportunity with these crosses now to see something that I do see commonly. With the reversed golden goat crosses, especially with, and we're going to talk about specific parents here, the Lemon Jeffrey. When I make the Lemon Jeffrey, the lemon skunk dominates that cross. And a lot of the phenotypes, I say 25 are going to look like mom, 25 are going to look like dad. Because of just genetics, the way this one skews, the way it sways, probably 35% of them look more like the lemon skunk, and the remaining 10 look like the golden goat. That's just how it works with this cross. Now let's shift gears and talk about Orangegasm, which is the same golden goat pollinating a platinum tangy female. More of those phenotypes are going to look like the golden goat. The golden goat shines through on that one, and the platinum tangy doesn't come through the mix as dominantly. So it's going to kind of vary plant to plant. But with the S1s, the selfed ones, most of the time I'm seeing 40% mom, 25, 25, and 10. That's mostly what we get. It just also depends when we start doing the reversals, you see similar, but you start opening up the options because there's another ingredient in the breeding mix. Something is going to be dominant. Something is going to be recessive. In those plants, you could have some traits from this plant that are dominant and some traits from this plant that are dominant. You might get weird shit. You might find totally recessive traits. You have no idea where it came from when you start doing that. But most of the time, and that's my new math that I'm going to stick to, 40, 25, 25, and those two can sway a little bit side to side. It could be 35 and 10 based on how the genes fucking mesh together. But we're going to get 40% that are 50-50 or 40% like the original mom. We got 50% to play with that are going to shift back and forth, 10, 35, 25, 25, sound like a fucking auctioneer. And then we got that 10% available for the outliers. The outliers are always going to be there. That's how genetics works. Sometimes the outliers are the best. So I think I answered that part of the question. There is more to this. It says, I'm trying to understand genetic variance between your feminized seeds and say a clone you may drop in the future. I hope that's all right to ask. I apologize. Never apologize for asking questions. The only stupid question is the one that you do not ask. And then it says, I'm picking up some seeds. Pick up some seeds. Yes. So you're asking about what is the difference between a seed and a clone that you may pick up. Those seeds, I run the same seeds that I sell you guys. Occasionally, if I want to run some new seeds, I'll go to my inventory, my stash, my vault. I'll say, hey, I want to run some Lemon Jeffrey seeds. I'll pull out a pack, just like I would have sold to you. I'll pull out two packs, just like you would have bought. I'll germinate them, and I will grow them, and I find the keeper out of those two packs. The Lemon Jeffrey that I'm selling on the website now is sold out. I apologize, but the Lemon Jeffrey that I'm selling on the website is simply, it came from a pack of seeds that I ran, and I found it, and I thought, that is a badass keeper, and I kept it, and I've been running it. That is where it came from. The cream plant that I will be using in the future, my buddy Brian, shout out to Brian, it's Brian's Cream Cut. My friend Brian has a grow local near me, and I went over there one day and saw the cream, and I went, that fucking plant right there, and he's like, I know, bro. So he gave me a clone of it, and I'm using that cream cut. Those are just cuts that we found in packs of seeds, and I make them available because I think they're stellar. They're standout. They're a very good representation of the product that I was trying to sell you. So since I found that, I just decided to offer that to you so that you could get the cut that I found and I could share my work and my discovery with you. So yeah, the seeds are self-pollinated or they are reversals. Very little of what I'm doing lately is just a regular male-to-female pollination. I've still got my boys. I got my lovely ladies, but the regular seeds simply do not sell. 85% of the market lately has been feminized seeds. I could put reg seeds on sale. They will sit there. Fem seeds charge regular price. You guys will buy them. So that is my answer. I'm sticking to it. My dude, Matthew, thank you for the great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, before we go any further, I do want to remind you that I have teamed up with AC Infinity. That's right, acinfinity.com, the leader in grow room gear. Make sure you check out acinfinity.com or use the link in the show notes. When you check out, use coupon code IREE to save 10% off your AC Infinity purchase. All right, I do have one more great question here in front of me. This question came from my new friend, Aaron K. Big shout out to Aaron K. Aaron, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Also, if you do not find that coupon code in your inbox, please do check your spam. A lot of your email servers think that my coupon codes are spam. It's not spam, bro. It's all good. Also, while you're watching this podcast, make sure you check your spam folder because I sent out an email today that you want to read. All right, my buddy Aaron, thank you for the great question. It goes a little bit like this. It says, my question is, will a plant get stronger or better with each generation? The story we always heard about G13 was that it is the 13th generation. Thank you for all of the knowledge and good vibes. This is very interesting. I do not believe or think that G13 was the 13th generation. That is not my belief. For that to be the 13th generation, that means that they took two plants and bred them together. That is the F1. The seeds that came from there were the first filial generation. Then they would have made seeds of that and bred them together, and they would have done this all the way up to F13. I do not believe, since this was supposed to be a university-led, government-bred project, I have no faith that they went to F13. F13 means that if you grew a seed from that plant, every seed would be completely identical. They would be homozygous. Everyone would look exactly the fucking same. And I've never seen anything bred to the G13 come out uniform like that. So I do not think that it was the 13th generation. My thought process is that there was probably plants were put in a grid. There was, columns and rows. You got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, and then one through whatever number it was. And I think that plant that happened to be in spot G, spot 13, bingo, you sunk my battleship. I think that is the plant that whoever was working with this product, that's the one that they kept. That is just the way that I think it happened. I have no proof, no evidence, no reliability, no reason to believe that G13 is 13 generations through. That is not true in my opinion. I can't fucking prove it, but just the things I know, I don't believe that in any way. Now, your question about a plant getting stronger each generation, do you mean breeding generation? Because people have a lot of misnomers and misconceptions about the way cannabis works. Do you mean if I breed this plant to itself or to its filial generation 13 times, will it get better? It should, if we are selectively breeding properly. If nature is doing it, maybe, maybe not. It will breed for the survival traits that work best in that environment, but it may not be the best aroma, flavor, or smoke that you're able to find. If you are selectively breeding 13 generations, you better be improving every generation. That is the purpose of breeding. If your breeding isn't improving, then you're taking the plant backwards, and that's not what we're here to do. Each generation should be better, better, better every time. So, does it get better each generation? Now, are you asking every time you grow that plant, like if I cut a clone? Because some people, I've heard this before, some people do believe that if I grow a plant, cut a clone, and grow it again, it gets better each time. No, that's the same fucking plant every single time. What got better was you as a grower. You got more adapted to the environment. You learned how to grow that plant. It's like taking that plant out on several dates. The first date, you go out with somebody, whoever it is, it's awkward. You don't know what they're into. You don't know what they want. You don't know what they need. You have no idea who they are. You're meeting them. That's like the first time growing a plant. By the third or fourth time growing a plant, you know in week six, it needs a little more of this or a little bit less of this, or defoliate or don't defoliate, just like you learn a person. So I think it's not the generations. I think it is you getting better if that's in fact what's happening. So the question is, does it get better with each generation? No, not clone-wise, but if you're breeding it, it better. The breeder better be improving upon that generation every time. And 13th generation of G13, I don't believe that's true at all. I would say that's complete bullshit. But that's what I'm here for, breaking up rumors and telling the truth. My buddy Aaron Costin, thank you for the great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to another quick episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. I notice you guys watch all the way to the end if the episodes are about 25 or 30 minutes long, trying to keep it right about there. Also, thanks for all the great comments on the song at the end of the podcast. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you know that I would love to hear from you. The email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Send me that constructive criticism or that hate mail if that's what you got to do. I've got thick skin. I can take it. Also, make sure you check out the website, iregenetics.com. Everything you need is at iregenetics.com. There's a link to iredirect where you can get the seeds. There's a link to the Discord where you can come hang out. There's a link to the Patreon campaign. Everything is at iregenetics.com. All right, I think that is all I've got for you for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Jersey Jake 2 Baked. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, poke your mom, be relaxed.
Hold up.
Roots and wisdom start to show. From the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. Spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. Join the movement, sing the song. Ooh.
truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new.